Today is Thursday, June 20th, 2019. And I am doing a Mama Cacao ceremony. I'm in the Hudson Valley, precisely. I am in Philmont, New York, looking out at a beautiful yard with birds, gorgeous trees of different varieties, hearing the sounds of frogs and the wind. It's overcast, and it's been somewhat overcast and cooler this summer thus far. Perhaps hot days are ahead, but even in the UK, they say it's been somewhat cool or cold and rainy. Haven't yet had summer. And I'm reflecting on the connection between Mary and Jesus and the she beings, the beings on the other side of the veil that are our mirrors or companions. They're in the fairy realm. They're a specific race that's more human-like, more tall elf-like. We have a common ancestor, according to David Spangler, who's a she-seer, if you will. And his guide, Marielle, has conveyed to him that Jesus and Mary are, in a sense, in the lineage of the she. Whether or not they are actually strictly she beings, it's a little bit ambiguous. I'm going to be talking about this in the Fairy Human Relations Congress in Twisp, Washington next week. And what I'm receiving right now is that it's not necessarily, we don't have to think of it in linear terms that either Mary and Jesus are she or they're not she. It's more like a strain of who they are is she or she-like, that they can come through the portal of the she. They can also come through the portal of those who are connected to Andromeda, or the Sirians, or the Pleiadians, or other star groups. They are holographic, so they appear and are available to come through whatever system or belief structure or origin point you may be oriented toward. They are somewhat universal. They can go across cultures and across dimensions and across timelines and across astral locations as well. So the value in connecting with them as she beings is that you then see them through the she lens, or she, see their she qualities. And so what are they? The qualities of caretaking of the earth. The she are very, very interested in caretaking the earth, caretaking the natural elements and layers and creatures and plants and the humans as well. Although the humans are something that they've had to contend with, although we're kin, humans have been affected, influenced, genetically manipulated quite a bit and have made us somewhat of an unruly race. And so their job is to help sort of bring us back to the fold, so to speak, the fold of Mother Nature, the fold of being in harmony with the earth and its rhythms and its cycles. The the fold of being guardians of the earth. We've strayed very much from that for the most part, although many of us are waking up to this. And so Jesus and Mary as she beings, when we look at them from that framework, from that prism, from that side of the crystal, we focus on certain of their qualities. And so what else does it mean to consider them to be she beings or have a resonance of the she? They are caring. They're also about awakening, healing, evolutionary consciousness, co-creation, and creativity. There's a lightness there when we think of and look at Mary and Jesus as pertaining to or having resonances of the she. There's a lightness there that may not be evident when we see them as from other perspectives. We see their more playful side, Jesus dancing. I remember seeing once an image of Jesus dancing. You know, not something that you're going to see in the Catholic Church where the images of Jesus hanging on a cross and dying. And similarly, Mary, when we see her as a she, we see her as a full essence woman. In her, there's a word. It starts with full. Her fulminous, her full luminous body, her feminine energy that's not laden down and burdened with the energies of the caretaking mother who hears the cries of the world and is somewhat somber and always dealing with heartache and things like that. No, there's a lightness to Mary as she. She does the same work here, but it's in a lighter way. She has her femininity. She has her beauty. She has her sensuality. She has her laughter. Jesus dancing and Mary laughing. You know, those are things we don't often see. And yet, in the infancy gospel of James, we see that Mary, as a three-year-old, did dance on the temple steps. So she is in touch with that dancing energy that is very much the she. The other day, in a reading with someone, a fairy reading I was doing, what came through is something that has come through numerous times for me, but that the Irish jig is actually the human earthborn form of a fairy dance. And that what I received additionally in that session with that client is that in the other dimension, when they dance like that, they're able to go high up in the sky, almost as though they're in a trampoline. And so they advise people who want to dance the jig to go and do it on trampolines, and they'll have much more of the feeling of the she when they are dancing, and it's the essence of the jig. And that there are many other dances that the fairies and the she have created and co-created. So in the other dimension, they're not bound by gravity. And that's why they can soar up, and in a sense, it's a form of sky dancing that they can do. Sky dancing and sky walking. And humans, dear humans, laden as they are in three-dimensionality with gravity, can only soar so high. And there are masters of it that have occurred throughout the ages. And of course, you know, the river dance is one such culmination of the masters who can go as high as possible off the floor, off the ground. So opening to Mary and Jesus as she beings is not a finite proposition. It's a both and. It's a, you don't need to pin them down as she beings, but you can see them from that perspective, see those qualities. Yes, they infuse and are available to and come through the she world, as well as others. So again, returning to them and feeling how they are as she will be the focus of the workshop that I do at the conference, the Congress, the Human Fairy Relations Congress, because we will be sitting with, dwelling, and playing with, communicating with, and perhaps even dancing as them. Perhaps we will have Irish jig music. I think that I should do that. Bring that Irish jig music with me. The fiddle music. They're saying that the Wedding of Cana story is comes closest to what we might understand as being Mary and Jesus' she nature when Jesus opened the wine. He turned the water into wine. Aye, if that's not a she trick, wee bit of magic, we don't know what is. The water turned to wine. Why? So that the guests could go into she and fairy reality. They could relax their bodies, open their hearts, join in with merriment at the wedding of Cana. Surely there was much dancing that day. And of course it was Mary who asked him to do that. She said, oh, you know, for this one time, yeah, just do the siddic practice. Oh, and they're saying that siddhi, S-I-D-D-H-E, meaning a miraculous ability, and the word she, S-I-D-H-E, really are pointing to the same thing. This is the kind of magicianry that the she are involved in. So thank you, Jesus and Mary, for showing me that link. Siddhic abilities, you know, to be able to walk on water or turn water into wine. Those are two of them, and the she are able to do that. They can go from this dimension to that. They can come into our world. They know how to look somewhat like humans. And so many of us have probably passed them on the road, on the street, in the forest. They can come in and out. So turn on your shidar, the ability to see these beings and also people who are hybrided into three dimension with such lineages, with such DNA. There are many, many of us walking around. We're opening to the diversity between the realms, not just among us, but between the realms. So this wedding of Cana and the siddhic ability of Jesus to turn water into wine, they're saying, yes, that's the ticket. And then Jesus also was able to turn a woman's blood into healing. The woman who could not stop bleeding and touched the hem of his robe and was healed. And he was able to start the wine flow and stop the wine flow. And that woman's womb was bleeding excessively. And he was able to heal that feminine aspect of her, because he was so connected to the feminine through his mother's womb, the holy womb chakra of Mother Mary, which is an emanation of the holy womb chakra of Mother Divine. And that's what we learn in the Holy Womb Chakra System teachings course of Cindy Lindsay, who is carrying on the tradition and the teachings of Sri Kaleshwar, Swami Sri Kaleshwar, who received all that information. And so they're really showing me that Jesus and the Blessed Mother, remain as active beings in present time on into the future. They're not just stuck in the past in this one perspective where we have to turn to biblical teachings and that's that. No, they're alive, they're vibrant, they're growing, they're now. And, you know, the thing about them is their resonance, their hologram can be taken any way you wish. There are those teachings in the Gnostic Gospels that they can be seen from whatever perspective you are in. So if you are in a fundamentalist, rule-based, punitive perspective, that is how you will experience them, see them, and promulgate them. If you are in a she perspective, you will experience them and open to them that way, and they will work in your life that way. So you see, that hologram is available to be taken and used. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord, you know. That's what it means. It means that you're going to taste it according to your taste buds. Communing with Mary and Jesus as she beings offers refreshment to the connection with them. It offers people a refreshing way of being able to experience these great beings. It puts life and greening into it. The greening that is Viriditas. Hildegard of Bingen referred frequently to Viriditas, the greening energy. And what they're showing me right now is that Mary and Jesus as she beings bring Viriditas, greening energy, to the entire mystical enterprise that they are a part of. And it was this that Hildegard of Bingen was tuning into when she was referring to Viriditas in her writings, information she had gotten in her visions. And she was a very visionary plant oriented nature woman. She knew the plants intimately, and I've often wondered if her visions were because of her use of the plant medicine. And nobody has talked about that to my knowledge, but it seems plainly obvious to me, unless of course she simply was just an extremely open channel. But her strong connection with what she was picking out in the woods makes me think that this is how she was receiving her information. So Mary and Jesus as Viriditas, she beings of the nature of the green. So they bring green back to us. They bring us back in contact with the juicy green, which is Viriditas, the juicy green of Mother Nature, which is the color of many of the plants, the leaves, the trees, the grasses. Basically, in thinking of and working and playing with Mary and Jesus as she beings, the invitation is an opening to joy. And joy is certainly not an energy that has been emphasized in certain religions that have taken hold of the Jesus and Mary energies. It's been anything but joy. It's been a lot of death and destruction and duty and penance and punishment and, you know, control. Those are a lot of the energies that have come through the Christed energy. It has been sort of co-opted largely on the planet, but Mary and Jesus as she beings is an invitation to joy. The joy of nature, the joy of the body, the joy of creativity, the joy of the womb and sensuality, the joy of dance. Joy to the world, but a different kind of joy to the world than the one we've been programmed with through the sort of, that sort of, you know, dreary Christmas song. It's a true joy to the world. True joy, not the joy of being saved, but the joy of being on planet Earth. The joy of dwelling in the realm of nature. The joy of dancing with the she, dancing the jig. Mary and Jesus as she beings also offer the valence of relaxation, coming from a relaxed place. Being in nature and relaxation go hand in hand because nature relaxes you, and you need to be relaxed in order to truly connect with nature. So if you may notice when you first start out going to a beach or going to woods, you know, you may be all jangled and thinking about your problems and, you know, on the phone, whatever, now that we can take phones into these environments, you know, whereas once we really had to be, stop multitasking, but, and you can be carrying those energies and those thought forms, and, you know, as the minutes and the hours go by, as you're in nature, you come into that greater relaxation. Your whole energy field shifts, the ions in your field shift, the biorhythm shift, and so they offer the promise of relaxation and the exploration of relaxation also as a tool for awakening and healing. The traditional Christian churches have used the hologram of the Christed Marian energy as duty-bound, you know, for duty-bound purposes and doing and all that. And Mary and Jesus as she beings offer also the promise of non-doing. Play. Again, relaxation. Again, joy. Again, dance. So their suggestion is to see Jesus and Mary from the eyes of the she being. Come into your fairy or she self and start seeing them from that perspective, and they will continue to give you energy and information, insights, and healing. And that's one of the things we're going to be doing in the workshop in TWSP. If you have time and an inclination, you might want to come up to that Fairy Human Relations Congress the weekend of June 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th. It is, according to David Spengler, one of the best and most authentic such gatherings in the world.